the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning. Blessed feast to all of you. كل عيد انتم بخير ايها الابناء والاحباء. Every year, like this time of the year, the closest Sunday to December 6th, we celebrate St. Nicholas Day, the feast of this holy cathedral, the feast that everyone worships here in this holy community. Today is a glorious day, the beginning of November. I spoke to you here in this holy community and I said the month of November is the holy month. Today, I repeat myself, December is a holy month. So we have many beautiful commemorations, but the top of these commemorations is the Nativity, the Jesus birth, Christmas. Today the teaching from St. Paul to the Ephesians, how to be the children of light. We've heard many times that you are the light of the world. The light, according to us Christians, is Jesus himself. So in many places in the Bible, he tells us that I am the light of the world. And because we are the reflection of Jesus, and because we are his children, and because we are his nation, so that we call ourselves the children of light. The Gospel of St. Luke today, some blind was shouting and yelling and crying very loud, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, these beautiful words, we hear them over and over. That's why, if not by accident, we keep repeating, Lord have mercy, many times in every service. St. Paul tells us, keep awake, keep watchful, keep vigilant, keep alert, because the days are evil. And this is what we are facing in our time. We hear stories everywhere. We hear crimes everywhere. We hear shooting everywhere, school shooting and other corruptions and other evil actions everywhere. So that's why no one can save us. You know, like government, constitutions, laws, everything, you know, that we have in our life accessible. But what we need the most, what we need more than anything else, is the mercy of God. Beloved in Christ, we gather here in this holy community every Sunday. This holy community is not a club, is not a social gathering. We come here to worship God. We come here to praise His name, His holy name. And we listen we get a lesson with us. We listen. So that's why in the Orthodox Church we don't talk. In the Orthodox Church we don't talk at all, because only one is talking to us, that is Jesus Himself. We have chapters, we have cantors, we have choir members, we have clergy, we have bishops, we have everything, but Jesus is the only one who is talking to us. So today, like every Sunday, we praise God, we look at Him, we feel His presence in our life, we try to ask for forgiveness, we try to listen to His wisdom, and we go home filled with the life, with the mercy, and with the Holy Spirit. You know, Christianity is not only when you gather in the church. Christianity is in the church and at home and everywhere. So this man, blind man, was recognizing Jesus, and he was yelling, "Jesus, Son of David, give me, have mercy on me, give me the sight, give me my sight back." And Jesus said to him, "You have your sight. Take it. You are now not blind anymore." So, what we get from here, beloved in Christ, that Jesus is our guider. Jesus is our strength. Jesus is our wisdom. Now we are coming to this holy season. We have to have love, Christian love, that symbol of God. You know, you see beautiful material everywhere. You see this tree. Fine. These are, you know, like earthly things. But the most important thing is in our hearts and minds, and to take Jesus to be born in our life. And if we were not following Him yesterday or last week or last year or in the past, so let us promise, let us make a promise that Jesus is filling our life, is guiding us, is leading us, is our life and is our sight. So therefore, if we think this way and if we act this way, I am sure that our Christian life will improve and we will be like that. You know, like before we receive communion, we say the holy gifts or the holy things are for the holy. You know, how did Saint Nicholas become a holy man? By giving, by showing kindness to people, by forgiving them, by trying to help them, by doing, you know, like beautiful things. Even the most important story, you know, about Saint Nicholas and what he did. That father, he had three daughters. And because they were very poor, miserable, no money, no food, nothing, no income. So that's why he decided to follow some evil action. And even to sell and to use his three innocent daughters. But Saint Nicholas is a shepherd, is a beautiful example of giving and forgiveness. So he was helping that family without anyone knowing about that. So when we do almsgiving, when we do some kind action, we don't have to announce it, we don't have to reveal it, we don't have. God is watching everything what we are doing. So beloved in Christ, the season, the spirit of this season, the season of Nativity, the season of Christmas, has become very commercial in our life. But we can give it a different flavor and different meaning. And we do everything we can in order not to empty the meaning of the Spirit from its substance. So now, forgiveness. That's why, you know, these days we are fasting. We don't eat, you know, like, what's the meaning of being fasted? Why do we have not to eat cheese or meat or this or that which we love? So this is like a symbolic, this is an example that all those who are following, they are not following rules and instructions, but they are following the Master. They are following His purity. They are following His holiness. They are following Him in many ways. So this is the way He acts. We keep the spirit of the season. We keep the holy tradition. The holy tradition. So the church is leading us to keep the holy tradition in many ways. We love, we forgive. You know, these maybe someone will say, you know, like we get sick of hearing, you know, love and forgiveness, and this is the church's message. We don't have anything to offer except love, forgiveness, and repentance. And repentance. So in the church, beloved in Christ, when we talk about repentance, means people ought to change, must change from a situation, from like the way we are, into the icons, the living icons of Jesus Christ. You know, in my doing my ministry in 64 churches, I have many ups and downs, many, many troubles, many headaches, many disappointments, if you like. But we do this ministry with a big smile, with a big smile, with forgiveness, with kindness, with all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. So that's why we move on and we overcome any kind of hardship. And believe me, a little prayer here in this holy community or home or elsewhere, it makes a big difference in our life. So I pray this holy community to improve. I pray that this holy community to grow, to prosper, and to act like real Christians during this holy season. Before I continue, I have to draw your attention. Most of the time, we forget about mercy and about wisdom and about forgiving each other. Most of the time, we have not forget the church is an organization or a business. So we do business in the office. We do business when we have the budget, when we have some work, when we have instruction, when construction, when we have some work in the church. We need everyone to use his skill and to use his profession. But we don't have to forget that we are still in the church. And not everyone, we cannot create a rule for everyone. You know, we have the patriarchy, we have the archdiocese, we have the diocese, we have the local parish, we have all these organizations, or we have all these rules, you know, like to direct us and to guide us. Otherwise, we will have chaos. You know, many, many times I heard from the people, this is our church. We believe, you know, my fathers and forefathers built the church, and this church belongs to me. No, this is wrong. This is a very big mistake, those who say this and those who think like that. The church is not ours. The church is God's. I am a servant. I am serving at His feet. And you do the same. And you do the same. The clergy are servants, ready to serve, ready to bring light, ready to lead and guide, ready to love and embrace everyone. Sometimes, you know, people are very offensive and very, you know, like disrespectful to that lady. We forgive them. We forgive them. But the church, as I said, you know, is not. But you know that wisdom? The wisdom behind that the church doesn't belong to individuals like some other organizations. Because if the people, you know, will come into some disagreement, if the people will fight among each other, everyone will claim that, you know, this is my property and this is my possession. But we have only and one guarantee that God owns everything. God owns everything. So parish council, people on organizations, when they work, they work. They do business, but they keep in mind that they are doing this for the best interest of the church, not for their interest. So I pray daily. Believe me, I pray daily. I don't have any other business except to pray for every situation. I pray these days for Syria. I pray for the Middle East, Palestine, the troubles in the world, in Serbia, in everywhere. You know, we don't have time to waste. We don't have time to fight. We have serious matters around us. You know, even governments cannot solve every problem in this country or in that. But you know who can solve all the problems? God. If we ask for His mercy, if we ask for His heart, His wisdom, if we obey what He is telling us, if we follow what He is teaching us, we will see at the end of the tunnel, we see a beautiful light, a beautiful hope. That is the church. That is the church. If the church, you know, doesn't give hope to any situation, we don't need it. We don't need it. That church is dead. That church is dysfunctional. So the church has to heal. The church has to give hope and joy. So that's why we say, joy to the world these days. Where do we have joy? So if he is coming more, you know, this is not a joke. This is not a joke. It has been for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. Many, many countries disappeared. Many powers dead. Many, many empires gone, disappeared. But the reality of our faith is true. So that's why, you know, like that, this Holy Spirit is not a little thing. It's not about this and food and use we make, we decorate, you know, like ourselves. No. The power of this Spirit, that the eternal God, the incarnation is the creation of the world. So God has accepted to be born like us, to become flesh like us, to become like us in everything except one, that is sin. He is the only sinless one, because he is the perfect God and perfect man. So he is coming to visit us. He is coming to sanctify everything in this world. So that's why it is powerful. It is worth it, beloved, in Christ, for his sake, for the joy he is bringing to all of us. It's worth it to open our hearts and minds and the door. And if we are unapologetic to each other, we say, "Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me for the sake of Jesus." This is more important than the coming of Jesus into our life, into the 21st century. He is coming to touch all of us. He is coming to sanctify us. The faithful, the believers, the society, the government, that's the thing. In this life, to be healed and to be improved. God bless you.